بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last time we were reading from the Kitab, so Azadji Rahmatullah Ali was explaining that when the majlis used to take place, the majlis khana used to open, so the people used to rush to go into the majlis khana. So Azadji mentioned that what would people say at your mad rush in coming in, just running and going in, not coming in an audible manner. So some of you explained that the reason for the rush was that each person was trying to get a place right in the front. So Hazrat said, well, the intention is commendable, that the person is trying to take the lead in surpassing others, he's trying to get a place in the front. So the intention may be fine, but is the action right? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is explaining one incident that took place amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had instructed a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to depart for a certain destination, and he wanted them to reach that destination at a certain time. So he wanted them to leave immediately and they must reach that destination at a specific time. So it happened to be the day of Jumu'ah. So out of the four of them, the one, he decided to remain behind, because the day of Jumu'ah, he wanted to read Jumu'ah with behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get the fazilat of Jumu'ah in Madinah Munawwara, and also behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after the Jumu'ah salah, he went and presented himself to Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to make salam, make musafaha, that he is now leaving. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that I had instructed the group of you to go, so where's the rest of your jamaat? So he said that they have left, they already left when he told us to leave. They left at that time. And you, why didn't you leave? So he explained that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a day of Jumu'ah and I didn't want to lose out on the fazilat of reading Jumu'ah here with you, your masjid behind you. So in his mind, he was looking at the fazilat of these actions. So there's no bad intent, right? He's thinking that now, how am I going to get this kind of sawab anywhere else? How much closer I will get to Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by remaining here, reading Jummah here, etc. So after he explained himself, he then said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also have a very fast horse, so I can very easily catch up with my companions. They will still be on the road. I will catch up with them and I will still reach the place at the time that you wanted us to reach. So both things will happen. I will get all the fazilat now of having stayed here and read the Jummah, etc. And I will also still be compliant, that I will catch up with them and I will still reach with them at the time that you want us to reach there. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after hearing him out, listening to him. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that, see, whatever you have said, it has its merit, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa may have not said in so many words, but in other words, all that is in its place. But the qurb that those companions who departed, the qurb that they would have attained, you won't attain. Why? Because they followed instruction. They followed instruction to the letter. What instruction I gave, they carried it out. Right? So on this point, Hazrat Imam Sunnah Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentions that when there is clear nas, in other words, there is a clear instruction from Allah Ta'ala or Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then in the face of a clear nas, a clear instruction, there is no room then for ijtihad. In other words, for us to now start thinking and qiyas, start using our logic in the face of nas. So the ajeeb thing is that we are reading this today in Majlis. On Saturday, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sanadji Sahib, he mentioned the very same thing in his bayan. On Saturday in Azadville, there was a program there. So he mentioned the very same thing in his bayan, that in the face of nas, the students and the ulama, they will understand this terminology of nas. But for us, people like myself now, for us to understand, is that when there is a clear-cut instruction, either in the Quran Sharif or in an authentic Hadith Sharif, so we have a clear-cut instruction from Allah Ta'ala or Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there is no room then for us to now start using our logic, for us to now start thinking, no, 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 but I think this would be a better option and that would be a better option. This is the thing that led Shaitan astray. Right? Shaitan, he started using his own logic. In the face of Allah Ta'ala's direct instruction, instead of complying with the instruction of Allah Ta'ala, he started thinking, no, no, but I am created of fire. This insan is created of clay. Now how can fire, which is a more superior thing, how can a fire bow down to clay? So this was his logic. He started using his logic. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sariji Sahib, he gave the example of photography. This photography. Today, who is not involved in this photography now? Everybody is caught up in photography. I mentioned this before. In the old days, if a person wanted to take out a photograph, it was a big story. Before, if a person wanted to take out a photograph, now he had to go to the studio, right? Or he had to call the person from the studio to his venue. Now the background must be right. The fellow will come with one big, I don't know what the thing was, and one light. And now they'll tell you now, don't blink, don't say, don't do this, don't do that, because you couldn't just delete and take out another one. And it was a costly affair. Right? Now only after they, yeah, the word for it. Develop that film now. After they develop it, now they'll see your eyes are closed there. So now you spoiled the whole picture now. But now it's too late now. Then after that they came out with these cameras now. But that also now you needed to have a flash, have a film, take out that thing, then now you must, when that film is full, now some could take out like 40 pictures, some could take out 20 pictures, depending on the size. Then now you must take that thing to the Kodak shop or some this thing and go and develop that thing. Now by the time they develop it, then you go fetch your stack of 20, 30 photos now. And it was a costly affair. But Shaitan wasn't happy with that, because now, how many pictures is a person going to take? This is costing a lot of money. You buy one flash, buy one film, take out the picture, then take the trouble. You must wait now till that film is full. Then now you go and get that thing developed. So Shaitan wasn't happy with that. He needed to come out with something else. So then he came out with a camera, instant. You just take out the picture and same time the, like a photocopy machine, you know, like a photocopy machine. You put the paper inside. Now here you had a special type of thing you put inside. You take out the picture and it processes it immediately. So now the person didn't have to wait for the film to get finished and all of that. Same time he's taking out the picture, same time he's getting the photograph. But that too was expensive. To buy that paper was expensive. Only rich people could afford that kind of camera. So that too Shaitan wasn't happy with. So then Shaitan came out with the cell phone. Came out with the cell phone camera. Now just see the cell phone camera now. Everywhere, anywhere, person is taking out pictures now. Person is at the Haram Sharif, he's taking out pictures. He's at the Roza Mubarak, he's taking out pictures. Somebody gets shot, they're lying on the floor, their life is coming out, making a video of it. Slaughtering an animal, Kurbani time, making a picture, making a video of it. Your child is playing, doing something, you take it. And it's regarded as an innocent thing, you know. It's an innocent thing, I mean, nothing wrong with just taking out a picture, just taking out a picture. But, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in various ahadith, right, that Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the picture makers. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the picture makers. Now, what a laugh Shaitan must be having. At last I got this for this now. From the small child to the adult, all are just clicking away. And now you don't like how this one looks, just delete, take out another one. You don't need flash, you don't need nothing, just take out. How many you want to take out? So how many people are caught up in this guna? So the Muftisab was saying, that now in the face of Nas, there is Hadith Sharif, authentic Hadith Sharif, that Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the picture makers. Now we are using our, to say no, this kind of photography is digital photography, this kind of photography is different, and this kind. So, but you got Nas here, it's telling you straightforward, clear cut, Allah's curse is on the picture makers. Now why are you going and doraving your akal ke gore and trying to come to another conclusion now? The other thing that came to my mind, this morning we were doing one Hadith Sharif, right? That once there was a dispute with one tribe, one family, and they used to live near Quba. So the dispute got a bit serious. Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went there with few sahaba to go and reconcile them. And if we study the hadith, you'll find the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to great pains to reconcile between people. So much so that even if a person is to speak a lie to reconcile between people, he doesn't get guna for that also. He's not regarded as a lie. He speaks a lie, two people are not talking. Now to soften the relationship between them, he goes and tells the one person, "No, that fellow wants to make maaf with you, man." The fellow never tell him nothing. He said, "Oh, that fellow wants to make maaf with you, he wants to sort this problem out." That fellow say, "Yeah, well, I'm waiting, why he's not coming?" He goes by that fellow and he spins a similar story. But those people didn't mandate him to do that. But now this softens the problem between them, and eventually he gets them together and gets them to talk, make maaf, etc. So he's not regarded as a liar. We, when we come to know that there is some feud, some problem taking place between people, we want to see how we can put more fire, especially if we don't like the one person. Now we will see how to put more fire. Right? Or if we don't want to put more fire, we're waiting to see the tamasha now. We just wait and see now how this thing is going to pan out now. And then that becomes our topic of discussion now. Whenever we meet, yeah, what that fellow said, what he did now, he saw this message, yeah, this fellow put for that fellow put for this fellow. These are the things that seem to be making us happy now. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to reconcile. So now he went away to Quba to go and talk to them. And he left instructions with Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, let's see, if I'm late, but don't make it back, then tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to perform the salah. So now the namaz time came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not back. So Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, said, "Ya Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is delayed there, will you make imamat?" So Abu Bakr, he said, "Yes, in Shaita, if you tell me to, I must make the imamat, then no problem, I'll make the imamat." So he goes to perform the salah. In the meanwhile, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joins the saf. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they going to get Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's attention that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here? So they are hitting their hands like this, to get his attention. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was the person that not like me now, you know. He had a lot of khushu and khuzu, he's absorbed in his salah. So he is continuing, but now more of them did. So now a lot of them started making a noise tonight. You know, he realized something not right. And then he realized that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has arrived. So what he did, before he could move off the musalla, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made ishara to him, indicated to him that you carry on with the namaz. Now imagine, Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to read namaz behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he walked back. Slowly, he walked back. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the musalla and he performed the salah. So after the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the point I wanted to make. After salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the sahaba radiallahu anhu. He said that, "O people, what is the matter with you that when something happens in your namaz, now you are hitting your hand? This hitting of the hand, this is for women. Right? You must say Subhanallah." So if you say Subhanallah, the Imam will know now that something is amiss, something, maybe I made a mistake, something. You'll get the Imam's attention if you say Subhanallah. Now the question here is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the men, for you, you must say Subhanallah. This tasfiq, this hitting of the hand, or hitting the hand on the thigh or something, this is for the woman. Why that is for the woman? Why the woman mustn't say Subhanallah? Why? Because her voice is in parda. The men mustn't hear her voice. Her voice is in parda. So she must do that. She mustn't use her voice. The men, they must say Subhanallah. From other ahadith also we learn that the lady's voice must be concealed, etc. And if out of some zarurat, some necessity, she has to speak to a man, then she must intentionally make her voice gruff. She must make her voice gruff. She must not speak in her normal tone. Wait, wake up. So she must not speak in her normal tone, because a lady in her normal tone will attract a man. So she must speak in a make her voice gruff, so that that man doesn't get attracted to her. Now that is what we learn from the Ahadith of Mubarakah. But now we start using our own brain now. That no. Today the lady must teach online. Now when she's teaching online, who else is online over there? Who else is online? She's teaching online. Who else is hearing her there in the house? She may be teaching the children. But if the man is there in the house, if there is a baligh boy there in the house, normally he's not there, he's in Darul Uloom. Now he came home for the holiday. So now her voice is online there. Then the lady said, no, I want to be a presenter. So she's a presenter somewhere. Then what is worse is now what's happening in the country is ladies coming from overseas and all that, and they're having programs in the name of Deen and in a mixed crowd. So one side is what our akal is telling us, and other side is what is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, what is the command of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Today I heard an ajeeb thing. See, when it comes to marriage, right? Comes to marriage. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a lady, she gets married for one of four reasons. Or for four reasons. Either because of her lineage, or because of her beauty, or because of her wealth, or because of her deen. Right? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَزْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكِ, that choose the lady for her deen. She's got deen in her, choose her for her deen. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكِ, in other words, you will be successful. You will be successful if you choose a person for the deen. So although Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing the menfolk, the audience was the menfolk, but the same rule will apply to the womenfolk. That now if the lady gets a proposal, now either she's going to accept that proposal because this person comes from a noble family, right? Or this person is very handsome, or this person got a lot of money, or this person got deen. Now, if you choose the person for deen, then now you will be successful. But today's time, sometimes a girl or even a boy, right? A boy is shown a girl who is deeni conscious. Now what he's saying, hey, you know what, man, it's a bit too heavy for me, man. She's too heavy. But she's thin. But he's saying, she's too heavy. So what he means too heavy? She's too deeni conscious. She's too deeni conscious. So no, we won't be compatible because now, you know, her level is too high now. Right? And sometime you hear it from the other side. That the girl is saying, no, his imani levels are too high now. You know, I don't think I'll be able to keep up with him. Now, what are we supposed to be aspiring for in our life? We're supposed to be aspiring to become more pious. So now if Allah Ta'ala is sending a pious person to us, and through a union with that person, I can also become pious, then that's the object of my life. But now we have made the object of our lives enjoyment, fun, entertainment, pleasure. So now when a deendar person is coming, now we think, you know, hey, this is going to be a dampener for me now. This will be a problem. This person now, he is too pious. Now, how am I going to go movies now? How am I going to go do this and do that? Now, he is too pious like this. Whereas, that is the objective of life. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know, that the one big lesson, if we can take home today, is comply with Allah Ta'ala's commands. The commands of Allah Ta'ala, the commands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? If we comply with that, we're successful. We will be successful. In the world also we'll be successful. How will be successful in the world? Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us. Just our whole maqsad of life is Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with me. I must recognize who my Allah is. My Allah must be pleased with me. Right? At the time of my death, I must hear the announcement. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. If I get that when I pass away, then I'm successful. Then I'm successful. Right. So in the world also I will be successful. In the qabr also I will be successful. On the day of Hashar I will be successful. But if I don't comply with Allah Ta'ala's commands, I'm not going to comply with Allah Ta'ala's commands. Sometime, from a worldly perspective, people's tongues may hang when they look at me. See, the other day, one student who was in the madrasa, he came to visit. A lot of students come, they left madrasa. Now they come to visit after that. And boys will be boys, you know. So this particular student, so he came to visit. Now he pitched up with one very flashy car. Right? A car like most people can just dream to own. Right? Came with one very flashy car. Flashy hairstyle. You know, dressed to the nines. Smart techies and smart, you know, all dressed up and everything, right? And he's on his way going for a holiday, like, you know. And the bichara students, they're getting ready to go to class. So, now, we were also young one day. Now, I can see this couple of students, you know, I'm looking at their faces, and I can see, hey, these fellows now shaitan got them going. So later on, I mentioned to them, to the students in general, I said, see, if you see something like that, right, in reality, what has happened? In reality, what has taken? I didn't give them this explanation. Now they're getting this part now. In reality, what happened? A person was in environment of deen. He could have been a student of deen, right? He got deprived of that environment. And he was taken out. For whatever reason, he went out. Now, he's taking out his beard. He's got two lengths hair. His dressing is not compliant. Right? So, is he currently in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him outwardly? He's not complying, right, with Allah Ta'ala's commands. But from a worldly point of view, your tongues are hanging. Hey, check here. Hey, what a car the man is driving. How he's dressed up. What khakis he's wearing. He's going on holiday. We're battling it out here. But in reality, are you not blessed? Are you not blessed? And he is deprived of that blessing. Now, if we're going to look at that and say, no, he is blessed, then what will happen when Dajjal will come? What will happen when Dajjal will come? We'll make the wrong choice there also. Because we're regarding success to be fun, pleasure, entertainment, living it up. We regard that to be success. But that's not success. Being in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala is success. I'll conclude on this. Now, Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib Nama Barakatuh, he always gives this example. Then if a person, he opened a business, right, and he followed all Allah Ta'ala's commands, everything he followed Allah Ta'ala's commands, there's no doubtful transactions, no doubtful commodities, everything is followed Allah's commands. No interest dealing, nothing. And the business didn't work out. He had to close up. After 3-4 months, things not happening, to close up. He is a successful businessman. Because he didn't break any of Allah's commands. On the other hand, a person now, he went and took OD facility to set his business up. He went and bought some vehicles through finance, set the place up. He's advertising, put music, all haram ways of advertising. And he broke so many of Allah Ta'ala's commands. And his business is roaring. But they say he's printing money there. He's printing, minting, printing, all. He's an unsuccessful businessman. He's an unsuccessful businessman because he didn't comply with Allah Ta'ala's commands. That business was not run according to the commands and the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Understand? Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم برحمتك يا رب. In keeping with the same thing what we are discussing, that one person came to Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali and he said that you mentioned, he may have mentioned in some bayan of his or something, he said, you mentioned that if a person lives a sinful life, then he will be deprived of the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. He says, but I am living a very sinful life. This person is telling us on earth. He says, I'm living a very sinful life. I hardly do anything good. But everything is going well for me. I got a beautiful wife. I got beautiful children. I got a roaring business. I got properties. I got bank balance. Good health. Everything is going well for me. So what you said doesn't add up, no? So Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali asked him, he said, tell me, did you take joy in tahajjud namaz? Did you take joy in making dua to Allah Ta'ala? He asked him a few questions, there are 3-4 questions. So then he said, is it not deprivation that you don't find enjoyment in talking to the beloved? What worse deprivation can be than that? So we sometimes only look at things from a dunyavi perspective. Just look at things from a worldly perspective. Look at things from the perspective of the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala mustafi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.